the book of Genesis, chapter number 50. And then turn back to chapter number 46. It is a joy to be here again at Liberty Baptist Church. I appreciate your pastor, and I hope in some way your life will be blessed. We all need help from the Lord. I want to thank Him for traveling mercies today publicly. He's looked after me. I reckon I have driven over 800,000 miles in the past 20-some years, and the Lord has took care of me. And I always want to acknowledge it publicly that He's good. Genesis chapter 46, verse number 5. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, their little ones, their wives, in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. His sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he in to Egypt. Verse number 26 says, all the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's wives, sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 60. Then in chapter number 50, verse 22. And Joseph dwelled in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which He sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You can be seated tonight. Especially in the book of Genesis, there is much scripture that is given that describes certain brothers. You'll find that Genesis chapter number 3 deals with Cain and Abel. Or chapter 4. Cain was the brother who was an outlaw. And Abel was the brother who offered. Tonight I've read to you about Joseph. He can be described as the brother who overcomes. Joseph had to face difficulties. Joseph had to face tragedies and tribulations. That some of us have never faced in our own Christian experience. He had to face the inhumanity of his own brethren. How cold and how wicked their plot was against their own flesh and blood. He had to overcome all of that. He had to overcome the indictment of Potiphar's wife, who accused him of immorality and wickedness. He had to overcome the ingratitude of the butler there in the prison house. For when that butler got out of prison, Joseph said, "I want you to remember me." And the butler forgot all about Joseph for 2 long years. And tonight there are circumstances and there are difficulties in our own lives that we must rise above, that we must triumph over if we're ever to be a Joseph in our generation. I realize tonight many have fallen by the way. Anybody can be a quitter. Anybody can surrender. Anybody can throw in the towel and say, "Fooey on God." But I'm here to tell you tonight, God give us some Josephs that arise above their circumstances and triumph over their difficulties. God give us some Josephs tonight. There are certain rewards for those who overcome like Joseph. There are certain bounties and blessings that can be experienced by the one who triumphs over their tribulation. I want to look at 2 or 3 of them, and I'll not be long at what I do tonight. I want you to look at what Joseph was able to experience. How Joseph was blessed because he did not succumb to his temptation to bitterness and hardness and accusing God of being unjust and unrighteous. And by the way, these blessings did not come the first year of his service. These rewards were not experienced in his beginning days as he served the Lord. We live in a generation that wants it right now. They wanted it 2 days ago. They gotta have it now. They don't want to work for it. They don't want to live right for it. They wanted that experience, and they want to have it right now, and you can't do it. There's young preachers that
think they ought to be a pastor in your church. They don't think they have to wade through the difficulties and pay the price. They deserve to have a congregation like that. Amen. That is good preaching, I believe. But there are certain rewards that Joseph experiences in his life because he has remained faithful and true to his God. I say hallelujah tonight. Help us to be a Joseph.
Number one, Joseph got to experience a family united. For over 30 years, Joseph had not had the blessed privilege of sitting down at his father's table. Joseph had not had the blessed experience of fellowship with his father, Jacob. But now, due to the fact that Joseph has risen above his difficulties and God has exalted him, here comes Jacob, his sons' sons, his sons' wives, and their daughters, and they abide in the land of Goshen. The family is living together again, and not only are they living in the same locality, all the bitterness, all the hate that lived in those brothers has been alleviated. It's gone. And Joseph and his brethren can fellowship together once again. Joseph never thought he'd ever see his dad again, much less live with him and fellowship with him in the same locality. I'm just here to tell you tonight, just stay with it. Don't bow out on the church and go to throw in the towel. God's still able to put a home together again. God's still able to put a family together again. God's able to put a church together again. He got to experience that. But the sad thing, if he'd have failed, he would have never had that blessed experience. A family united. There was another blessing. A father functioned. Jacob, if you look at the scriptures, only lived 11 years after he came to Egypt. Joseph had 11 short years to be around his father. It would do us well to learn some things from our father. A father who has been faithful and true to God. It would do us well to spend some time around where they're at. And if you go read Genesis chapter number 48, Jacob is fixing to die. He's coming down to the short rows of his life. His vision is waning. His strength
is ebbing in his life. He struggles to strengthen himself to sit up on the bed. For somebody said, Joseph is coming to your house and bringing his boys to see you. And it seems to me he was a mighty excited about Joseph bringing his boys to his house. I just wonder if on Sunday morning our Heavenly Father goes to looking down and he sees you and I getting our boys and our girls ready to come to his house. Do you not think there's a sense of an excitement and a joy that fills the Father's heart? I say hallelujah tonight. Bless his name. And when they get to Jacob's house, he is standing and leaning on the staff, weak and shaky and wrinkly in body. But them two boys come near to the Grandpa Jacob. And I'm here to tell you, you ain't going to get much staying away from the Lord. But if you get close to Him, it's just no telling what He'll bestow on your life. When they come to their grandpa Jacob, he said, boys, said you're not going to be like my grandsons. Said I'm going to bring into my family just like Simeon and Levi are my sons. You're going to be my sons. He adopted them into his family. Gave them son status. If you please, I remember that blessed night when the Lord put me in his family. Gave me son status. Gave me a name. Gave me his name. I say blessed be the name of the Lord. He had a father, son. Jacob wasn't hanging his head and mullygrubbing about the journey of life. He wasn't cussing God. He wasn't believing the Lord. Oh no, he's telling them grand boys, the Lord that has fed me all my life long, the angel that hath redeemed me, bless these lads. Sound like he had a touch of God on his life. Sound like heaven was resting on his life. That's what our children need to see. They need to see a touch of the Holy Ghost on Mama and on Daddy. Now they've heard you talk about the preacher on Sunday at dinner. They need to see the Holy Ghost on you down at the church house. And if you get the Holy Ghost on you down at the church house, you ain't going to be talking about the preacher at Sunday dinner. All my children to see God touch my life. Joseph got to experience a father's unction, a family united. Number three, Joseph got to see a future unfolding. When Joseph first came to Egypt as a young man, he found out the Lord was with him. But when he went to Potiphar's house, the Bible said, and the Lord was with Joseph. He found out early on that God was interested in his life. That God was an intimate and personal God. He had compassion and he had concern for Joseph as an individual.
I'm glad I found that out in my life. I've got a Savior tonight that's interested in me. He's interested in you. That's why I dealt with you that Sunday morning or that Sunday night. That's why I dealt with this little girl this morning. Because he cares about individuals. I'm very convicted in my heart that Friday night. And I saw myself a sinner. Though others did also. It's as if God had just focused on me. He was interested in me. He was interested in you. And Joseph found that out early on. And when Potiphar's wife lied on him, he found out again. He's reaffirmed by the Lord that God has his eye on the situation. And even in the prison house, God gives him favor. And the Lord was with Joseph down in the prison house. God just confirming to Joseph, Joseph, I love you. I'm looking after you. I'm here, Joseph. My eye is upon your situation. And by the way, he knows exactly where every one of us are at tonight. He ain't forgot about us. He ain't turned his eye from us. He knows exactly where we're at. You may think he's nowhere around that, but I'm here to tell you he's standing somewhere in the shadows tonight. Oh, bless his name. Then he's brought out of the prison. Stands before Pharaoh. Interprets Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh makes him ruler in all of Egypt. He's in charge of every silo, of every cistern. He's in charge of every crop that's grown in Egypt for 7 years. And they gathered in. And Joseph realizes that God is smiling his favor on his life as an individual. But 2 years in the family, one day, he sees 9 men coming before his throne. They don't know who he is, but he knows who they are. Lord God, I'm glad there's a day when I did not know who he was. But there's never been a time he didn't know who I was. Hallelujah. That's what Boaz told Ruth out there in that field that day. Ruth said, who are you? He said, I'm Boaz. And he began to tell her everything about her. He knew who Ruth was. She didn't know who Boaz was. But hallelujah, I'm glad I know who my Boaz is tonight. Glad I know the times he's wrenched me parched corn. Let me sit down at his table. And here they come, needing corn. He fills the sacks full of corn. Oh, he puts them in prison for 3 days to give them something to think about and to talk about. And he didn't do it to be mean to them. He was doing it to find out what was in their hearts. It wasn't time to reveal himself. That time would come a little later on when Judah would go to pleading for Benjamin. He realized then all of that hatred was out of their heart and they loved their little brother. And he sends them back to Canaan and puts their money in the sack. Then all of a sudden, Joseph realizes, Lord, you're just not interested in me. You're interested in my family. You want to help my brothers and my father. You want to help my family, Lord.
And aren't you glad God, though He is interested in me as an individual, He is also interested in our families. I'm glad it's not just about you and me. It's about families. It's about the church family. There's some folks in the church, if it don't revolve around them, they pout and they puff and they get the feelings hurt. Hey, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. God's interested in a family tonight. And they come back again. And they bring Benjamin with them. Joseph is just torn in his heart. He realizes they love Benjamin. They're willing to speak up for Benjamin. If they still had that old same attitude they had toward Joseph, they'd have let old Benjamin just swim for himself. They'd have saved their own skin. But Joseph realizes that they've had a change of heart. And now his whole family comes down to live with him. This thing's getting bigger. Hey, this ain't just about me and you. Yeah, this thing's getting bigger. It's unfolding right before our eyes. And Joseph also finds out that it's not just about him and it's not just about his family. When Jacob gets down there, Jacob goes to talking to Joseph about Abraham and about Isaac and the God who made some promises to Abraham and to Isaac, and the same promises Jacob had embraced and said God is going to take a people out of bondage and He's going to lead them to a land. You see, God's not only interested in an individual and in a family, but God was interested in raising up a nation that would claim Him as their God, lead them to a land flowing with milk and honey. I say hallelujah. It's getting bigger all the time. And it's unfolding right before His eyes. The promises that Jacob had embraced from Isaac, now Joseph is embracing from Jacob. Oh, isn't it a blessing when some of the younger generation goes to locking on to some things that the older generation have embraced for a long time. It's a blessing to see young Christians come to a prayer room. It's a blessing to see young Christians worshiping the Lord in the right way. I'm not talking about this swinging and swaying mess. I'm talking about getting in your closet somewhere and praying to the Holy Ghost. Goes a drop an oil for you like dew drops, and you come to church and you can't help yourself. I like it when this younger generation goes wanting to do like Grandpa and Grandma's done. Hey, there's a young boy got saved a few weeks ago. He's just about 7-8 years old, and God's been dealing with him for a while. We got two men in our church that come to the altar quite often. They're brothers, and they're good boys. They just don't have the mind that a lot of people have got, but they've got a heart that's big as a barn. But they come to the altar. Some of our men go pray with them. Every time they come, I go pray with them. But after that young boy got saved, his daddy had been praying with those two men. And I seen him get up out of his pew. Here's a first and down to pray with them two fellas. I say hallelujah. I want to see a younger generation go to latching on. There's some things that this older generation has preached and declared.
Number four, and I'm done. Joseph got to experience the finish that was untainted. Chapter number 50. Joseph said, "Behold, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you to the land He has promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And he said, when he does, he said, "Don't you leave my bones down here. You carry my bones to the land of Canaan." Doesn't sound like a man who's limping across the finish line to me. Doesn't sound like a man staggering drunk with hatred and bitterness in his heart. Oh no. He's not limping his way across the finish line. No, it looks like to me he sees the finish line and he's running as fast as he can. He's given it everything he's got. He's not looking behind. He has no regrets. And God help us tonight especially. God help us as men of God to lead this walk of life with our testimony intact, our morality right, and our lives above reproach. God help us to be a Joseph. Say, my heart breaks because men have fallen by the wayside. And lest we should think of ourselves more than others, it can happen to any of us. But I'm here to tell you, I owe it to my children to live right and to die right. I owe it to my congregation. I owe it to my Savior tonight to live above reproach. You say, "Preacher, you sound like you don't ever do anything wrong." Oh no, you don't have to go very far to find fault in my life. I'm full of it. But tonight I want to live above reproach. I want to magnify the Lord. I want to lead out of here right. I don't want to disgrace and shame the very Savior who saved me from my sins. Joseph left out of here that kind of testimony. You know, I've stood in the pulpit. Caskets have set right here. And a wife, children, sat in the congregation. They're grasping at straws. They have no assurance where their loved one has gone. They try to pull on any loose root they can, any sign of hope they can grab hold of. And they live with uncertainty and they live with doubt all of their days. Hey, I don't want to leave my children with that kind of testimony. Oh no, I want them to know where I'm going when I leave this walk of life. And I want to leave out of here right. I want to be a Joseph for the glory and honor of the Lord. Brother Ken.